Oh ja, erst ein anderes Zitat. Do we have one of these little tables still available? There's. See, it's like this. I know that we can actually not sit higher than the books. This is not proper. It's not a sign of respect. But maybe I can. Wait a minute. I have an idea. Let me do it like this. No need of table. Table is not necessary. I can do it somehow like this. This. Yes. Yeah, gerne. Time for another garland. Thank you. Hare Krishna, first of all, thank you very much for coming to this celebration, birthday celebration of this humble servant of yours, who may serve in a very, let me say, a respected position, but who nevertheless considers himself your servant and the servant of his own spiritual master and the whole parampara or spiritual tradition. I have thought how to address you on this day. I feel it is a very good time to address you with some nice and important subject matter, because your hearts are very open due to the celebration. It may be that we require some concentration during this time, and if our children are feeling bored or not well, I request the parents to somehow see that they are well. Du, Gaur Krishna, nach einer kleinen Zeit manchmal ein bisschen Milch geben oder streicheln und so, und dann kann man wieder zurückkommen. Also das kann sich so legen, ne? oder so rumschwenken, das ist immer gut. Also nicht zu schnell, sondern also irgendwie. Jetzt geht's ja, vielleicht ist es hier, also ja, genau. So. I believe it is of great interest for you to hear a little bit my own feelings about my own spiritual master and how I think of him from the perspective of being a spiritual guide to some of you. I would like to address this subject matter. Then I would like to talk about a very nice spiritual principle, which I believe is very interesting. And then I want to shock you. Hare Krishna. Nice, in a nice way, in a festival way. Don't worry, nothing will happen which you cannot digest. It is a festival. I would like to open this lecture with a beautiful verse from the 10th canto. It comes in the second chapter and is their text 31. It is a glorification of both Krishna and the spiritual master. In Sanskrit, this beautiful verse reads like this. It first addresses Lord Krishna and then his servants, the spiritual masters in plural. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee. And therefore you are known as a vancha kalpatataru, a desire tree. When our acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross, and because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Let us just quickly go over the verse again, the points of the verse. Krishna is compared like the sun, and his special quality is that he fulfills the desires of his many, many devotees. Now, in order to, what are the desires of his devotees? We have to ask. This is explained by Rupa Goswami. The devotee has three desires. You can now see if you are a devotee or if you are still on the way of becoming a devotee. Both is a very glorious position. The devotee wants, as his first desire, to attain his Lord. As his second desire, the devotee wants to serve his Lord with love. And as his third desire, the devotee wants that the Lord is pleased with his service. These are the natural desires of a devotee, and I believe all of us will find at some stages of their lives these desires in their heart. Oh, I want to go to Krishna. I want Krishna very much. And I hope Krishna is satisfied with me. But this is natural. And as you mature, you will see how these desires become stronger and stronger and more of a reality during the process of your own spiritual maturation. So in order to fulfill the desires, the devotee sends Krishna sends devotees into this world who inspire his devotees, who train them. And this is what the second part of this beautiful verse talks about. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross that dangerous ocean of nations. Prabhupada here is in a boat, you can see. I'm sitting down there somewhere. Just for architectural reasons, I'm sitting so high, but I'm there, just very low, very down, very insignificant. yes. Such an acharya as Prabhupada leaves behind on earth a method by which we devotees can cross. And that is the boat of the instructions of the pure devotees. So this is what the verse talks about. I would like to read a few lines of the long and beautiful purport, which I guess you will all like to read, or many of you like to read them in their private reading time. And Prabhupada says, this statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, said, Brahmande Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Vij. My friend has arrived. I have greeted him. One can achieve the seed of bhakti lata, devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of the Guru, here's the duty of the Guru, is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate. We are candidates, huh? By which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. You know? So this is some very nice parts of this beautiful purport. I will not go and read the whole purport because of lack of time. But I want to really say how in this world we find that Krishna and his devotees work together to bring us back home, back to Godhead. And I find this totally enlivening. I find it also very enlivening to sit in Prabhupada's boat here. yes, this is actually, I do not know, Ananga Manjari, and myself seem to be having a very spiritual, telephone connection. I mean, we did, she wanted so much to have the name Ananga Manjari, and I felt from Krishna that this is the only name she can get. And I feel so happy in the boat, and she made the boat. This is a very good transcendental communication, so to say, wireless communication. yes. On this auspicious day, I would like to really read, reflect on Srila Prabhupada's example. For me, Srila Prabhupada is someone who is so very determined and enthusiastic to follow his own spiritual master. No living entity has spiritual strengths on his own. In this world, we have material strengths, the strengths of the body and the strengths of our intelligence. But both the strengths of the body and the strengths of our intelligence can never bring us into the transcendental, completely spiritual reality. Mind and body don't go there, say the Upanishads. The thoughts cannot enter the spiritual world. On our own, we are helpless. The Sanskrit word is abala. Abala means without strength to approach the Supreme. But strength can be given to us by the merciful servants of Krishna and by Krishna himself. Hare Krishna. In the spiritual world, in other words, you do not get as a party crasher by your own strengths. You only come there by invitation and by being empowered. Srila Prabhupada, in my eyes, represents the perfect servant of his own spiritual master. There are many other qualities for which we can praise Srila Prabhupada, but today I would like to highlight this. Srila Prabhupada has said that in his own life he received great inspiration from reading a particular text in the Bhagavad Gita, and he says, in fact, his whole life turned around this text and was changed by this text. And I would like to read this today to you. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, means determined, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute, that means on the material path, is many branched. Now when Prabhupada read this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, he had a commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur which threw light on this verse. And he said particularly a few lines from this commentary were instrumental in changing him. I like this commentary so much that I have it in my most important managerial book. This is all of Sachinandan Swami's management. It's where he writes down what he has to do in his life. You can see here, usually all the days are full. And there, just to keep me on track, I have pasted this Prit, the Prit Klebestift, the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which really inspired Prabhupada so much. And listen to this commentary and become moved in your heart. The best kind of intelligence I can have is intelligence used in the service of Krishna. That intelligence is defined as fixed. When it is fixed upon my spiritual master's instructions, such as chanting the names of Krishna, remembering his activities, and performing service to his lotus feet. Whether I am happy or distressed, whether the material world remains or is destroyed, I really don't care. There is no loss for me. I simply must carry out the orders of my spiritual master. Fixedness upon his orders is determined intelligence in devotional service. And only being fixed in his orders is such determined intelligence possible. You can see, this is where I have everything in. It's also where I have the names of the new initiations, Trin. I have, what else? Important telephone numbers, whom I have to phone before I die. I have here a list. It's called family members, and that is all the information's disciples. When they want something from me, then I write it down so that I don't forget it. I have a long do list, long-term goals, and so on. And what else? And notes, and poetry, and ideas. And I have my Swami yoga set here, with all the important exercises to keep me alive in this world. And I have this very, very important purport by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And that's in the beginning of this book. There are many other things which are a little secret, but maybe at another birthday celebration, when one feels naturally a little talkative, I might tell you a little bit more. This is all my material life in here, and my duties in which I cannot forget. And I thought also I will glue this purport in the book, because although I must admit I'm not perfect, don't consider myself a good disciple, it is my strong desire and most important project to serve my spiritual master, because this is how one can get transcendental intelligence and how one can go back home, back to Krishna. Yes. Prabhupada wrote in his purport about how this verse moved him. He said, service in Krishna consciousness, however, is best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna. Then he says, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur instructs us in his famous prayers for his spiritual master, Yasya Prasadat. Now please sing with me. Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasadat Nagati Gotopi, Yastu Vangstasya Yasya Shti Sandhyam, Pane Guru Shri Charanaravindam. Ah, by satisfaction of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. This is our idea. Yes. Wonderful. Now today I'm practically turning to Srila Prabhupada. Because I'm only sitting here today with such wonderful devotees, as you, because it is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Before I came to Krishna consciousness, I had in my mind mysticism. I was very interested in mystical things and perfections and so on. I guess there was some spiritual ideas there also. But at the same time, whatever there was spiritual was so mixed with confusions and bewilderments and so on and so forth. And my spiritual inclinations, I had read spiritual books before, Krishna Consciousness, a little, you know, semi-spiritual books from my perspective. Now I think these books have really not explained very deep things. But only when I met Prabhupada, really, then my I saw a clear path which opened in front of me, and I followed this path, and this path has brought me into this station of my life where I turn 51 years in this world. This is quite an age. I also know only that yesterday was my birthday. We celebrated today, but yesterday was my birthday. I only know this because of Prabhupada's mercy. Otherwise, I would have thought my birthday is on the 15th of February, which it is, was only one time, this is not a proper calendar. The Western calendar does not take account nature's ways and workings. It's very inaccurate, really. So I am sitting here because of Prabhupada's mercy, and I only know that it's my birthday because of his mercy. And I also know very deeply in my heart that I will only be able to serve Srila Prabhupada, Krishna, and all of you by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. I honestly feel that for this grave task to serve my spiritual master and Krishna, and to serve all of you, so many wonderful devotees, such strong individuals with such interesting challenges in your life. It is beyond an ordinary person like me to do some good service. It only is possible if there's a mercy and empowerment of Srila Prabhupada. I really feel like this, and it is important for me to say it on such a festival where everyone celebrates me and gives their affection to me. It's important to say it and to think of it for my own protection. But it's not only that I want to save my skin and therefore I say this. It is my real feeling, and it becomes stronger and stronger as the years go by. My material calculation, my spiritual master has left me in 1977. As I have told you often, I was crashed at that time, and devotees were afraid that I would lose my mental stability. I was really very, very upset at that time. I thought I would not recover, but by the help of a lot of prasadam and sleep, the vata cooled down again, and I became functional. It was all right. But Prabhupada left us, his disciples, not without a lifeline. How we could contact him and be connected with him. In the Bhagavatam, he very nicely expresses, when a devotee becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, then such a determination that I want to serve my spiritual master is equal to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What this means is that when we as Prabhupada disciples and grand disciples want to follow Prabhupada's mission, then Krishna will take charge of us. He will see our willingness to serve and will inspire us as a super soul to find devotees who can help us in our way, scriptures who can help us and lead us on. There is a principle in spiritual life, or is principle of life. We always are controlled. Either we are controlled by the material energy, which controls us by our karma, by our mental ideas, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do that, I have to do this, and I'm disturbed because of this, I'm disturbed because of that. This is how the material energy controls us. Whenever you are sad, no, the material energy controls you. Whenever you are happy, no, the material energy controls you. Whenever you are in between, no, the material energy controls you. We are fully under the control of the material energy. Only when we submit ourselves to the control of another energy can we hope to escape the material control. That is, only if we submit ourselves to Lord Krishna and his devotees and say, please, you order me, like Arjuna, I don't get it together on my own. Please, you must guide me now. It is necessary. So when Krishna sees that a devotee doesn't want to be controlled by Maya and wishes to, and at the same time accepts that he wants to be controlled by the spiritual energy, he sends help. There are some people who do not want to be controlled by Maya, but also not by Krishna. Yes. These are called Mayavadis. There's a majority of this, of the people of this world. Now, of course, my dear devotees and my dear disciples, please think about this carefully. When you say to Maya, no, I don't want to be controlled by you. And yes, Krishna, I want to be, I want to be controlled by you. Do you think it's so easy to just say it and then everything works? Flowers rain from the sky, your spiritual body shines forth, you enter into your eternal service in your Swarupa, your original constitutional position. Do you think it's so easy? You will not like. Yes, thank you very much for this illustration. You will not like the control of the spiritual energy, although you want and need it like anything. Maya will, the false ego, and you will scream. The moment spiritual life becomes serious, the false ego doesn't like it. It's a mechanism to keep you in the world. And it will really be very, very active. I have been with disciples and I've told them, please, the whole world sees it. You must do something now in your spiritual life, or it might become too late. Don't you see it? The whole world wants to tell it to you, but because they are not such Inanandaswami who always likes to shock everyone, they don't say anything any longer. And the disciples looked at me, Guru Maharaj, you are very nice, but please leave me. It's all right. Thank you for your endeavor. This I see constantly. And it is not even the disciple saying that. It's the false ego, but because some of us are just so immature that we can't see what is when our soul says something, and when the ego says, no, you didn't say this. You're a little fanatic, you know. Hare Krishna. If you are willing to take the next step on your spiritual progress, turn to Krishna, who comes to you in the form of the Guru. If you want to take your next step, then turn to him. But rest assured, he will look into your eyes and your heart. Did you turn from your heart, or did only your body turn? Only when there is the desire from the heart, then a spiritual help can be given. I'm saying this so confident because, believe me, as a disciple of Prabhupada, I know what is false ego. I have the verses and the biggest, and my God brothers know this. I'm not a good devotee, but I'm trying to be, and I'm trying to fight. Therefore, only when a devotee is very qualified will the spiritual master force him to turn to him. There's a verse by Raghunath Das Goswami, a very, very qualified Vaishnava, who said, "My spiritual master forced me to drink from the cup of renunciation, although I was unwilling to drink." You know, he must have gone like, you know, sometimes we are like this, but when we are very qualified, then this help is. In normal cases, we must turn with our own hearts to Srila Prabhupada and his servants. This is there. Now, when in my own desires to understand the spiritual journey a little bit from a different perspective, I stumbled over something which is written by a noted historian who has observed civilizations as they were and civilizations and wie sagt man Volksstämme nations as they were forming, as they were advancing, and as they were going down again in their development. And he found something while studying the world history of the last, I do not know how much information, I think 3,000 years, he went 1,000 before Christi birth. And he found out a principle which I feel is so human and so accurate that for a spiritual person who is struggling with his human weaknesses, it's highly instructive to hear about this. Have I tizzled your interest in this? How nations grow, reach their high point, and how they go down again. I think it is happening also on the spiritual path sometimes if our humanness is not understood and not dealt with in a mature way. He said, usually people are very start to build a nation when they feel something must happen. The bondage or the die Enge, sagt man in Deutsch, the narrowness, the pressure of material life is too much. We must get out of this. And they develop what he called a faith that this is possible. He said, the average age of the world's great civilization has been 200 years only. These nations have progressed through the following steps: from bondage to spiritual faith. Please keep in mind your own life. Have you not also felt at some time pressured and then developed a spiritual faith? Then, from spiritual faith to great courage. Have you not also felt in your life, wow, wow, I'm going to become a devotee. Like I remember when I went to the to my school and I invited the whole school actually in the aula because I said I have something very important to tell you. And I brought all the devotees with me. And I said in a public program, this was arranged by Mr. Thompson. I still remember it. My music teacher. I declared, I will become a devotee like them. And I wish you to listen from them because maybe you will also want to become a devotee. This was my last thing which I did in my in the Gymnasium Oberalster. I felt so courageous. And they came to me and said, my revolutionary friend said, congratulations, you really leave the whole materialistic society. We never could do this like you, but we wish you all the best. And my teachers came, are you not afraid? You're in puberty. This will change. And then how will you earn your money when you have not made your abitur and your whatever? I felt so much courage. I said, this is not so important. Spiritual life is more important. I'm deeply convinced. So from spiritual faith to great courage. I think all of you have a similar story. From courage to liberty. You leave, in other words, the old situation. From liberty to abundance, things start to happen. Things start to come. Maybe the belly grows. And now the road turns. This is how civilizations and humans go up. They have spiritual faith and develop courage in their path. And something happens, usually good things happen when someone goes with a great determination. But then a very dangerous turning point comes to civilizations and sometimes to human lives. Abundance, do you know the word abundance? It means opulences, fulfillments, abundance. What is a good word in German for abundance, please? Überfluss. Wohlstand. Danke. Wohlstand. Wohlstand. You feel well. Yes, things are taken care. I have my Audi. I have my Danda. I have Gaurahari. I need to only say Gaurahari. I'm very hungry. Can you please? And immediately, what? Bread? Dates, apples, tell me, I get it for you. This is Wohlstand. Yes, abundance. Now watch what could happen. And it could happen to any one of us here. It's the road which goes down now. From abundance to selfishness. Me, 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 me. From selfishness to complacency. You're satisfied by the way things are. It's not so ideal everything, but let us be realistic. Let us be satisfied. I can't always make my life troublesome. From complacency to apathy. Things are no longer spiritual. Your spiritual faith is no longer so real in your life. And now comes something which is called soft addictions. From apathy to dependency. You know there are hard addictions like drugs, but there are soft addictions like TV, movies. You need them in order to feel whole. Your hobbies, many things are soft addictions. You become dependent on them. and from dependency back to bondage. This is happening to civilizations in the time span, says this historian, and he is quoted often, which are in the average 200 years. The average age of the world's great civilizations has been 200 years, and so on. The reason why I'm saying this is to mildly shock you. This was my shock. It was not so bad, I think. It was an intellectual shock. It's based on statistical numbers and so on. And I'm also saying this not to shock you, but to inspire you. When you feel in your spiritual life this development, that you develop great courage in your spiritual path, and that you become free from so many things which you could not even imagine to become free of. No, this is a common experience in all civilizations who have developed spiritual faith. And no, when the challenges come, that you become maybe a little bit complacent and apathetic and so on. No, this is also not so bad. Welcome to the human race. But know that there something could be done against this. While talking about this, and I want to make one last point and then conclude, I'm obviously not talking about a very, very necessary phenomena. See, when we turn from our brahmachari orientation into the grihastha orientation, we actually confront different realities. One reality is that we have to earn money. We have to earn money in our lives. Another reality is that grihastha life is not really the phase in our life where we only concentrate on austerities. This is done in brahmachari life or brahmacharini life, where we are sacrificing for our services. In grihastha life, our austerity is a little different. It is raising a family, working and earning money. And naturally, as we enter the grihastha life and we enter a certain energy, a certain disposition, a certain stream of consciousness, and this is good and this is well. We may think during our days very much about family matters and earning matters, and it is highly necessary that we take these responsibilities. Otherwise, we might become irresponsible and we might not learn properly. This little list which we have explained, in other words, is not meant to that we become depressed in our lives when we see that we have to think of so many things. Think of so many things as a grihastha. It is a complicated world in which we live. It is so complicated that German's bestseller is the book Simplify Your Life. You know, it becomes a problem. not only for Hare Krishna devotees, it's complicated. Kali Yuga. So on. No. I want to say, and this is a very necessary for me to say, that I very, very much acknowledge and see wonderful grihasthas who do their who do their fulfill their grihastha responsibilities, and who have such a good Krishna conscious disposition and goal in their life, and who are such sadhus in the grihastha ashram. Many are here, and much more are doing their studies, maybe earning their livelihoods, and so on and so forth. And this is a wonderful thing. No, what I'm speaking of here is that we keep this a little bit in mind, this curve. How do we say curve? Curve, thank you. Which grows up, and when we feel that the selfishness comes, which will bend us from spiritual life to material life, then we say, thank you very much, this is dangerous. This is actually not in the way back, home back to Godhead. This is a sidearm, it is now going down. I want to remain a servant. Wherever you are, my dear devotees, wherever you are, in which station of your life, do not forget to render your service to your spiritual masters and to Lord Krishna. Remain, do service for only one simple reason. This is a very convincing reason. You are a servant. This is how we are made. We are not masters. I think everyone knows it doesn't work, the master life. Hare Krishna. Oh, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Let me just go through my mind. Yes, today on my birthday, where I will soon open the forum for you, and you will do your part in the ceremony. I've done my part, foot washing and lecture. I will turn it over to you in a second. I want to tell you how I meditate about my own spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. I read a little interview just a little while ago where one neighbor of Srila Prabhupada was interviewed who lived near the Radha Damoda Mandir or Radha Damoda Temple. This neighbor was a Brijvasi. He was born in Radhakund and he was a pujari there. And he describes Prabhupada before he founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He said he had one memory that Prabhupada would sit on the veranda and he would always seen to chant. And he knew that Prabhupada would chant every day 1 lakh of names. That means 64 rounds every day. Many have told us that Prabhupada was, he was always chanting. And devotees wished to see him, but sometimes Prabhupada could not receive anyone because he had his service to do, to write. So then he would tell to this devotee, this pujari, Pujariji, you please sit here on the veranda and you answer the questions for me. I'm there and I do my writing. Then this pujari said, Swamiji is not available, he is writing, but what is your question? I will answer, I try to answer. So once, this pujari tried to, when Prabhupada was not there, he was going inside Prabhupada's room and he saw many cobwebs. Do you know cobwebs are Spinnengewebe? And he thought, well, I should clean this. And he took a broom and cleansed it. all of a sudden Prabhupada was in the door. He was very upset. And he said, "Where are the cobwebs?" The devotee said, "Spider webs, huh?" "Yes. I had to clean your room. They were just there. And sometimes these spiders can be poisonous." Prabhupada just looked at him and he said, "Do not disturb these spiders. We are newcomers to Vrindavan, but they are here generations after generations. They are great souls. Do not disturb them." And the devotee was shaking. I see the spiders are still on the floor. They're not killed. So there was another time when this pujari ji was highly disturbed and feeling for the security of Prabhupada. Every night he heard from the courtyard of Prabhupada's of the Radha Damodar temple some unusual and strange sounds. And he woke sometimes up in the night and again he heard these sounds. And he was afraid of what is happening. I don't know what he thought. Maybe he thought a monster is there, a vampire, or what is happening. And one night, he got the courage together to climb over the roofs and look carefully into the court of the Radha Damodar temple, where there is the Samadhi Mandir and the Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami. When he saw from where these sounds were coming, he couldn't believe what he saw. He saw Srila Prabhupada. It was midnight. He had a broom and he was sweeping the courtyard of the Radha Damodar temple, and he was weeping and crying. He was saying, "Oh Rupa, oh Sanatan, please help me. Guru Maharaj, Upadesh." Upadesh means instructions. "The instructions of my Guru Maharaj is so difficult." And he was sweeping the floor and taking shelter. I think he must have meditated about that which he must have been a little afraid of, that is to come in the West and spread Krishna consciousness. And he said, "Please help me. Please help me, Rupa and Sanatan." He was crying. So I really like to think today on Srila Prabhupada making such sacrifices. And I wish to follow this example very much. I want to do much more sacrifices in the mission of my spiritual master. And I hope you will give me your permission, because some of you always preach to me, don't do so much, do less, rest more, make holiday, come to us, and so on. But yes, I will also, I'm doing now yoga 20 minutes every day. You will later get to know a mystic yogi who has instructed me in the art of highly efficient yoga. Hare Krishna. So thank you very, very much. Let us all call out in happiness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Nityananda Rama ki jai. Shishi Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Go Premanandi Hare Hare Go. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Hare Krishna. So Govinda Nandan, you please guide us what we should do now. Was it all right what I said, Govinda Nandan?